Now, today's biggest stories from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. Iowa football has picked up a commitment for their 2020 class as three-star running back LaShawn Williams has committed to the Hawks. Williams chose the Hawkeyes over scholarship offers from Kansas State, Wyoming, and Cincinnati. Last season, he had 2,100 yards rushing with 24 touchdowns, averaging 9.7 yards per carry. In the Western Conference Finals of the NBA, the Warriors came back from down 15 at the half and 8 late to beat the Blazers.
Steph Curry to the basket. Bank shot is good.
The call from ESPN, Steph Curry, 37 points in the victory for Golden State, who takes a 2-0 series lead. Half of the Stanley Cup Final is set after the Bruins sweep past the Canes.
Wanted to swagger by, no luck with the follow-up. Bergeron, the puck block to Bergeron. He scores! Bergeron, a power play goal, and it's 2-0.
The call from NBC Sports Network. Tonight, Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals, the Blues hosting the Sharks. San Jose leads that series 2-1. Two baseball and another big game for Christian Yelich.
It was the second hitter of the day, giving the Brewers the lead with that Yelich home run this afternoon. And there's a fly ball hit back into right field. It's deep, and Yelich has his second of the day.
The call from Fox Sports Wisconsin is the Brewers win it 11-3. Yelich with homers 17-18 on the year. Late last night in Seattle, the Twins 11-6 win over the Mariners. Four home runs for the Twins, and welcome back, Miguel Sano.
Base hit down the line, and Rosario will come around third and score. And Crone goes to third base. Sano goes to second with a double and his first run batted in.
Dick Bremer with the call, Fox Sports North. Tonight, Cardinals baseball takes the airwaves on 1460 KXNO as they travel to Texas to take on the Rangers.
Live from the Wild Rose Casino and Resort Jefferson Studios, you'd rather be here. This is 1460 KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. Happy Friday to you. It's Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, with you for the next couple of hours. Glad you're with us and hope you can stay with us. If there's a guest that you miss that we've got coming up, or you want to listen to something again, you can always go to the podcast page, KXNO.com, and find them there. Coming up on the program today, for the first time in a while, we're going to go to Vegas, get some sports wagering information with Chris Andrews, Andrews Sports on Twitter, part of the folks at VSiN and the South Point. Chris Andrews, good friend of yours, Trent Condon, will join us. He's writing a book, is he not, as well?
He does. His book will be coming out right around Father's Day, so you're looking for a gift idea. Going inside bookmaking for over, nearly 40 years now across Nevada as he made his way out from Pittsburgh and decided to go to Nevada, Vegas, Reno, back to Vegas again. So a lot of great bookmaking stories.
He's very good at what he does, too.
His storytelling in general, every time he does a VSiN hit on Mondays with Gil Alexander, that's the end of the segment. They do the what the line's going to be, Gil makes, and then at the end, it's story time. And he tells every week a new story from his years and years, and now he's putting all those stories into a book. So I really am looking forward to getting that, my hands on that one coming up here in about a month.
Well, good stuff. And obviously, we'll have him on to help promote that here in Central Iowa. I think they're going to have some news that's going to break on that pursuant to that company, but we will let them break it. Anyways, so Chris Andrews is going to join us at 10:25. Tom Cakert, I know you led your update with the Hawks getting a football recruit, so we'll talk to Tom about that and some other stuff at 10:45. 11:20, Scott Miller is, I think, joining us for the first time this year, correct?
Yeah. It's been a while for Scott, one of our favorite baseball guys.
No, Bleacher Report. He was with CBS for a long time, part of the Fox Sports San Diego, I believe, way out there. And
talk about an upgrade from Minneapolis winners to San Diego, where he lives now.
Oh, that's I forgot about that.
He wrote for the Pioneer Press, I want to say.
Did he?
Back in the 90s, probably something like that.
Still a two-paper town, the Twin Cities.
It is.
One of the few.
That'd be rare. I mean, New York, Chicago. Sometimes still daily.
Yes, best of my knowledge, it is. I'm sure it is.
How much longer will that be?
Yeah, really, right? Denver lost where Rocky Mountain News folded up shop, and that was a terrific tabloid. I thought it was. I was a big fan of the Rocky Mountain News. Well, anyways, Scott Miller's going to join us. We'll talk baseball. By the way, speaking of baseball, we'll get to the Cubs in a second. Disappointing effort out of them yesterday. They were due to lose the series. Cincinnati's better than a lot of people think.
Absolutely.
This is a last-place team.
You were high on them coming into the year, weren't you?
I was. I didn't think that they were going to be perhaps... I don't think they're going to get to the playoffs, but this is a team, if you're buying stock, I'm buying some stock in this team because they're going to be a pain in the you-know-what in that division. I think in the years to come, that kid Castillo pitched last night, strikeout machine, only was able to ring up six last night, but a lengthy rain delay in that ball game. Quintana was rolling along until the fifth inning. Cubs are up 2-0, and the fifth inning wasn't kind, 3-2, and then they were unable to come back. But where I started to say, the runs in baseball yesterday.
Yeah.
Trent, let me just go, I mean, and as you said, there wasn't a full slate of games. I mean, 7-6 Nationals Mets. Okay, I'll give you that one. The Brewers scored 11. The A's scored 17. The Rangers scored 16. The Indians put up a 14 spot. Your Twins scored 11. The Bravos put up a 10 spot on the Redbirds. That's some offense. Is the ball juiced? Is some of the players and commentators are starting to allege that this is a different baseball? I guess the seams aren't as prominent off the ball, or they're a little tighter to the surface of the baseball, which doesn't allow the pitcher. Steve Stone, I was actually during the rain delay and during the hockey game stunk.
Yeah.
It really did. And I think it was after the first quarter, I went over and watched my Blue Jays and the White Sox for a couple of minutes and happened to be over there when Jason Benetti was asking, and boy, he's good.
Yes, he
is. Oh my God, this kid's good.
Yeah.
You know, and think about what he's replacing. Like, I wasn't a big Hawk Harrelson fan.
Neither was I.
But he's a
White Sox legend.
Yes.
If you're a Sox fan,
he's your
Hawk
guy.
Yes.
He's your guy.
Put it on the board.
Right, yes. But
Stretch, get him.
Yeah, get up. Yeah, that's a good one. Could it be tough to replace that guy, right?
Yes.
At least you thought. He's come in there seamlessly. And he got a little bit of an opportunity to introduce himself last year to that fan base. But he's done a nice job. But anyways, where I started to go was Steve Stone, who's so good.
Yes,
he really is good. He was... you know, he was describing what's different in this year's baseball as opposed to last year's baseball. And the runs, I think, are a product of that. And if people want to buy tickets to see offense, they're getting their money's worth this year. So I don't know if this was an edict behind the scenes that we need more runs. Don't runs slow down baseball games? Don't they?
Aren't
we trying
to
speed the game up?
Right, right.
I mean, you can't have it both ways. But anyways, just a ton of runs yesterday in Major League Baseball. Some good series. We'll get into the weekend. I don't know if you looked.
Uh-huh.
There's some good weekend series unfolding here in mid-May.
Yeah, a lot of good ones, interesting ones. It's a good weekend coming up here. Got horse racing, hockey.
Basketball tonight.
Yes, yeah.
Boston-Milwaukee tonight. And the series
And then the PGA.
And look, DJ, Dennis Johnson, making a little bit of a run.
Dustin
Johnson. Dennis Johnson, my next-door neighbor when I grew up. Different one. Dustin Johnson making a run in this thing, which is good because, look, nobody wants to see Koepka run away.
No, not at all.
He's so robotic. He's like a machine.
So good, so long, so
and
boring.
Scored. And what did he shoot yesterday? 63.
You're right.
And most pundits say, you know what, 63, but it could have been better.
Well,
think about that.
And you couple that with the lowest round prop bet that was out there was 64.5.
Was it really?
He just crushed it on the first day,
huh?
Yeah, and did it by a stroke and a half.
Well, and there's supposedly some weather coming in this afternoon. We'll see. But Tiger's got a... Right now, the projected cut is 3 over, I think. He'll begin his day at 2 over, so not a lot of wiggle room if he wants to make the weekend. It was asking a lot. I mean, he hadn't played since the Masters.
Right.
Hadn't picked up... No, I shouldn't say that. He picked up a club, but he didn't play around the golf since the Masters. And he'll be ready for Pebble Beach. He's had a ton of... Look, he's had success at Bethpage. I'll give you that. But not having his best tournament. We'll see. He's got some work to do today. So Dustin Johnson's making a run. Anybody else early? Spieth, I saw, was off to a decent start. Boy, where's he been lately, right? It's been a couple of years since Jordan Spieth has been really Because he took this sport by storm.
He did.
Remember, he got off of this, at the Quad Cities of places, won his first tournament, and then just boom. I mean, him and his caddy, the former teacher, that was a big story for a while.
And an Iowa guy, his caddy.
Is he? I didn't know that.
Northwest Iowa guy played, I want to say he played at Morningside or something like that.
You know what? I did know that. Yes.
And so we had the local connection. And you know how we love to glob on to any local connection possible.
You know what? I know what I think about the guy. I think he's one of those guys that can get up in the morning, shave, and by 5 o'clock, he's got a full beard.
Yes. He's got that great look, the 5 o'clock shadow.
Indeed,
he's able to pull that off. Yeah, Spieth.
By the way, was 5 over through 8 today. He's 7 over for the tournament.
And Rory normally is just the Masters. I mean, that's where the mental block is. Mm-hmm. But he'd been so good coming into this. And again, what is it about him?
I don't know.
It feels like he should be.
Yes.
A lot better than he
was the guy. He was going to be the guy. This was the next player that's going to dominate the game of golf. Well, look, there's so many of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, Brooks Koepka,
Dustin Johnson, Jason Day,
Tommy Fleetwood is going to be a major, major player in this thing. He's going to start knocking down some of these.
DeChambeau.
Bryson DeChambeau is another good name on that list. Yeah, there's some really good young players, but look, all eyes on one and one alone, right? And that's Tiger Woods, and he tees off at 12:49 today's with Koepka. And Molinari is also in that group, I think.
Zach Johnson, 1 under today. He's back to even for the tournament. So
he looks as though he's going to make the weekend. What about Ricky Fowler? Where will he begin? He's right before, I think we get most of his round. We're off the air when his round starts. I remember seeing that yesterday. I think he's 1 under to start.
1 under, all right. Yeah, I don't think I saw hardly any of Ricky. Still rooting for him.
Sure, he's probably that guy, the next, right? Sergio Garcia finally got his major. Ricky
He took it from basically Colin Montgomery, greatest to never win a major.
Right.
And Sergio had that for a long time.
And Montgomery's going to die with that.
Yes, he is.
He'll take that one to his grave. All right, the basketball last night. Better Curry was who? I mean, we know what Steph's going to do, right?
You're right.
But we didn't know that Seth Curry was really good last night.
He was. He was good defensively.
Yes, on his brother for a lot, too. Like, his brother still got his, but his brother is one of the best players in the game, period. End of sentence.
Is it too much, the cutting to Dell and
Yes, I said it before the series started.
Yeah.
Look, we're going to be inundated. Well, look, way to go for them, right? Unbelievable for the Curry family. We got to sharing it, you know, once or twice, but seemingly after every shot they cut to the family. And it's like I said earlier in the week, what do you expect them to say? No, we don't care about Seth. We're only cheering for Steph.
Right.
Seriously, right? They got the one side, the double-sided jersey. Okay. But, I mean, the game was good enough yesterday that we didn't need mom and dad.
Game one, you probably did.
Yes.
Yeah.
And stories surrounding that. We needed that in game one. Yesterday was the Trailblazers got to wake up this morning and be kicking themselves because that felt, Trent, that was their opportunity to make this a series. Now down 2-0, obviously if you lose game three, you're cooked and it's going to go likely the way that the Bruins and the Hurricanes did, meaning NHL Eastern Conference final was a sweep. This one's leaning that way. Portland played well, but sadly, if you wanted this to be a series, McCollum never made a basket in the final 12 minutes. Never. He was 0-for-6.
Isn't deep enough to have that.
No. You can afford one of the... Right. You can afford somebody not named Lillard or McCollum to have that kind of scoring slump.
Edis Kanter doesn't score the last quarter.
No. You're used to that.
Okay.
Right.
Myers-Leonard, who was also good last night, the
not
former
bad.
Illini.
Yep.
Though one of those threes was ugly, but... Hit one that gave him, I think, that 8-point lead. Mm-hmm. And then here comes Golden State. And as I was holding a Portland ticket last night.
Oh, what did you get? A Portland plus how many?
7.5.
Yeah.
But when Golden State took the lead and took it to, I got really nervous all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And Golden State got the ball back with that 2-point lead. Portland got the stop, got the lead back themselves. But there was that tense moment that seemingly always comes up in an NBA game.
There was a little drama in the end for you.
Made it exciting, made it interesting, but like you said, down 2-0, I don't know. You have to win 4 out of 5 now.
Right. No, you're not going to do that.
I don't think you could take an all-star team of the remaining 3 teams. I don't know if you can beat Golden State 4 out of 5. I mean, it'd be a hell of a team.
You're able to pluck Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, McCollum, Lillard,
Lowry.
Pretty good team.
Yeah.
Look at.
But 4 out of 5.
No, I don't know if you can do that. Look, and just when we thought, you know, Kevin Durant's leaving after this year, this end, this era is about, you better win this year because the end of the era is upon us. And this is a team that's moving from Oakland to San Francisco, and they're only taking half a team with them. You're going to spend all that money on those seat licenses, those expensive seats to see mediocre basketball. Hold on. They are really good, and they're really good without Kevin Durant.
They won a title without him. They won 73 games in the regular season without him.
As you pointed out yesterday.
This is, though they're aging, they are getting older, and they're going to have to find some more loonies. They're going to have to maybe.
Who's a nice player, by the way.
Yes, he's turned in. Yep. You're looking for what
the other
Tyler.
Cook's a nice player off the bench.
What Tyler Cook could be in the NBA if he could find a role, it's that. Mm-hmm. That springy guy that doesn't try to do too much, just use your athleticism. I don't think he'll ever even get to the level that Looney... But Looney, early in his career, pretty good comp for Tyler Cook. I don't think he'll get to the heights that we're seeing out of him, but that's what you're looking for. Find that role, use your best qualities, find something that you're great at. You know, that's how Reggie Evans found a career in the league.
Reggie Evans found had a really nice career in the league.
Was a great rebounder.
Look at the money. How much money did he make in the league? Do you know?
$60
million. I might even be north of that.
Really?
He made a ton of bank, and good for him. When he left Iowa... Was there even a thought in the back of your mind that this guy was going to have the career that he did?
Not at all.
Nor with me. Nor with me.
There was, because of his limitations.
That's the key word. But he found something that he could
was
do well.
At.
Yes. And teams coveted. And because of that, he was able to play as long as... He had a great career.
$32.3 million.
So I thought he made more than that. What was his last contract?
His last 4 years were all... Must have been veteran minimums. They're like $1.2, $1.6 million.
Okay, so where did he cash in?
He got a contract with the Raptors. It was like a 2-year, $10 million deal. That was the highest that he ever made, was five a year.
So I was wrong. I thought he made more money than that for whatever. Look, he still made a lot of money. Let's not kid ourselves. I thought he made more than that. But in today's game, I mean, what are they paying him? Right? In today's salary?
$8, $9, $10 million.
Oh, huge, huge money. But regardless, had a nice career and played a long time.
That's what you have to do. That's what, when you're one of these fringe type of guys, find something that you can be elite at.
Mm-hmm.
Elite shooter. Elite leader. Another former Hawkeye. How did Ryan Bowen stick in the league for a decade?
Yeah, good one. Good one. There was a lot of former college basketball players that got shorter yesterday. I don't know if you saw some of the measurements.
Yes.
But it wasn't Tyler Cook 6'9"?
Everybody except for Taco Fall.
Everybody except him.
He got taller.
Right. Cook was, 6'7 and a quarter?
Mm-hmm.
Horton Tucker was 6'4 on the roster. I think he was 6'4, wasn't he? But he was listed as, was he 6'2"?
6'2 and like 3/4.
That's what he was
shoes.
Measured yesterday.
Yes.
So I thought there was a lot of guys that somehow mysteriously, imagine that.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah, at every single school. Did you watch any combine stuff yesterday afternoon? I couldn't bring myself to do it.
I saw it there.
So did I.
I had a performance yesterday. Ella's preschool had a performance, so we got home a little early, flipped it on for 5 minutes, and she said, Daddy, can we watch a kid show? I said, sure.
Yeah, you didn't miss nothing.
5 minutes of this was more than enough.
It was pick up basketball.
It was, yeah.
But something in the afternoon.
Right.
So anyways, we continue on. All right, coming on up in the 11 o'clock hour, it's Friday. That means we've got our Claxons barbecue giveaway. We're going to do a couple of things. We'll do the hockey game tonight, the Blues and the Sharks. That's game 4 back in St. Louis. Blues feeling that they got robbed. Look, that was a bad non-call. It was an egregious non-call. Doesn't mean that they were going to win the hockey game. Right?
Yes.
It was still going to have to be decided in overtime. You're still going to have to get one behind the Sharks netminder, but you lost all chance for that. So we'll do that. We'll do the odd even numbers for the Preakness. It's Preakness weekend. There's a field of 13. It's a big ho-hum for me. Really is.
And are you going to fire at it?
No, I don't think I will.
Really?
No, don't think I will. I think I'll take a hard pass and find a bit. Well, I'll probably watch the race, but just not into it. Just not into it. I don't know why. Just... The Derby winner's not there.
Yeah.
You know, there's every Preakness, I seldom bet this race because I want the Derby winner to win and to get to the Belmont with a chance to have a Triple Crown on the line. I don't care if they win the Triple Crown necessarily, but I want that Derby winner to knock off the Preakness because you know he's going to show up in 3 weeks, and it's a great bet against the horse that's got two jewels of the Triple Crown. Because in the past, Everybody wants that souvenir ticket on the Belmont just in case he's a Triple Crown winner. So the pools with all that souvenir money, you bet against yourselves. The win pool is usually a pretty good opportunity, but not in this case. Not in this case. So I'll watch it, but that's going to be about it. What else will we put in there? We'll do some, we'll do a baseball series. We'll do the basketball game from tonight. What is the line on the game tonight? Bucks favored by
6.5.
6.5. Wasn't that what it was last time?
It was.
Game one, six and a half.
Raptors
feel like, you know what? The Trailblazers know exactly how the Raptors felt after game one when they got up the next morning. One that they could have put in the win column. So, anyways. All right, we've got Chris Andrews coming up live from Vegas, Tom Cakert as well, before we get out of here in the 11 o'clock hour. Right now, it's time to go for the green with KXNO and EKG Golf. Text the keyword super to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000 in cash. That's super to 200-200. Standard message and data rates apply. We will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're joined by Chris Andrews. He's at the South Point. I got to ask him, I was in Vegas when you had Chris Andrews on, right?
Yep.
Did you ask him about the show action that was on Showtime?
I did not.
Good, because I want to.
Good.
Because that South Point was one of the focal points of that series. I know probably a lot of you didn't watch it because a lot of you probably, you know, Showtime's, HBO is by far and away number one,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And then what's the other one? Cinemax and Showtime. I think Showtime.
Stars.
Stars is another one, Encore.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good piece. And as we know, sports wagering coming to our state in
soon.
Well, August at some point in August. Take a timeout. Chris Andrews from South Point and Las Vegas. Inside the numbers, Miller and Condon next. It's Des Moines Sports Station 1460.
Oh. Let me frame that.
Keep up with KXNO on Twitter and Facebook. Go to KXNO.com to learn more. From 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 15 minutes or so. Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. So we take you up until noon here, Monday through Friday, Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Let's go to the desert, shall we? Longtime line maker, Chris Andrews from the South Point, he joins us. Chris, good to talk to you. Ken Miller, you know Trent very well. How you been, Chris Andrews?
Oh, hanging in there. People that know me, follow me on Twitter, know I've had some health issues. But right now I'm doing pretty good and, you know, just trying to get through them like any 63-year-old guy would do, I guess.
I'm with you.
Just fighting through them.
Absolutely. It doesn't get any easier. I just turned 60 and boy, oh boy, it's not good. Chris, where I want to start with you is I was fascinated by the show action from South, a lot of it aired on, was shot at South Point. It aired on Showtime. I thought it was a great four-part series. It showed the good. It showed the bad, Vegas Dave. But it showed a really, it took you behind the scenes and allowed a lot of people that maybe never had that opportunity, to see it from that perspective, a real good insight. When you guys were able to watch it, knowing that you saw a lot of it being shot, did it turn out the way that were you guys happy with it, I guess, the way it came out?
You know, except for that Vegas Dave part, I was pretty happy with, you know, the buzz surrounding it. You get involved, and this is a couple times I've been involved with some TV things, and they'll shoot hours and hours and hours and cut it down to like 15 minutes, you know, by the time it gets on the air. I think Bill Krakenberger was a friend of mine.
He was terrific.
He was terrific. You know, like I said, the Vegas Dave thing, I don't know where they got that. That I think that was really not so much a poor reflection on Las Vegas and our industry, but a poor reflection on them for making that decision. Todd Wishnev is another guy I've gotten to know recently. He hangs out at the South Point every day, and I found out we lived in the same town in Pittsburgh for a couple of years together. So, we have that in common. He's really a nice guy. Quite a character, though.
Indeed, he is.
Very interesting guy. But You know, he's one of those guys in the sports betting world. I've seen quite a few guys like that. Certainly a higher percentage probably than you get in, like, you know, banking or advertising or anything like that. You know, so he's a character, but, you know, not totally unique. I've seen some guys like that over the years.
Yeah, no doubt. If you sit in a race or a sports book long enough, there's the same guy seemingly every night. And, yeah, fun to watch those. If nothing else, even if you don't bet, it's fun to people watching these places. You know, let me ask you this, Chris. In Vegas, Dave, you know, with the overturn of PASPA and one state after another seemingly coming on board, and as you know, Iowa joined the party here within the last couple of weeks, and the switch is going to be flipped in all likelihood in August after the regs have been passed. You know, the Vegas Dave angle of it, there's going to be a lot of, not to the extent of Vegas Dave's, but a lot of guys that try to, you know, take advantage of some of the neophytes and, you know, that this guy's got inside information and I'm hitting it 70% of my wagers and follow me and I'll make you money and yada, yada, yada. You really have to be on your guard for those type of people, don't you?
Yeah, you know, anytime there's money changing hands like that, I spent a few years in the financial industry, and, you know, I was really surprised, because I guess you would call me a neophyte as far as, like, investing goes. You know, you have an IRA and a 401k, you know, you buy some stocks and et cetera, et cetera. But I was really surprised how many con men are out there doing this in the world of stocks and bonds. You know, so anytime you see that kind of cash going through and, you know, everybody, you know, in those worlds, I shouldn't say everybody, but many people in those worlds just have this vision of getting something for nothing. And when you're in that mode, it's very easy to fall prey to somebody that has these empty promises, because it's very hard for you to check on them and find out what they're really about. And by the time you do, put your money up, oftentimes it's too late.
Chris, as we get ready for a big sports weekend, everything upon us here in our state, the official signing by Governor Reynolds has put a lot of people questioning, you know, what is next for Vegas? As people that make their yearly, couple times a year, three times a year, you from the forefront, though, when PASPA was overturned, you said, this is good for Vegas. As you see more and more states going that way, are you still seeing in that avenue more sports betting still a good thing for Vegas?
Well, yeah, it's definitely been a good thing for Vegas. You know, I know I obviously look at my own figures, and our business has grown, you know, since PASPA has been overturned. I've talked to other guys in the industry, and even the figures that come out that are released by the state show that our business mm-hmm. is growing. Now, why would that be? Well, a couple things involved. Number one, I think that all these sports books around the country have really grown the market. And guys that maybe were a little hesitant to make a wager before are now finding it much more comfortable to do so. The other part of it is I've seen, and I know some of these guys who work with a lot of the European outfits, you know, they have come in here, and some of them are doing pretty good business, but they have come in and said, listen, you guys in Vegas don't know what the hell you're doing. We're going to show you how to book. And I keep saying they're not doing a very good job. They're, not pleasing the customer in a lot of ways. And my analogy is it'd be like if me and Jimmy Vaccaro and Nick Bogdanovich went to England and said, listen, you guys don't know a thing about booking cricket. We're going to show you exactly how to do it. You know, they should, you know, we say stay in your lane. Well, they should stay in their lane. You know, they have their own marketing, but they've come in and try to do it the European way. And like I said, if you look at the dollar amounts, they've been pretty successful. But the guys who are really sticking to the Vegas methodology, and we've only been doing this for like 75
right,
years, you know.
Right.
But if you look at it, we know our customers. We know what they want. You know, we know how to turn a profit, and we will continue to do so. I could tell you this, They may try to change the market, but they ain't changing Las Vegas, I can tell you that.
Oh, that's for sure. And full disclosure, Chris, I don't know if Trent's ever shared this with you, but I'm a CGT employee in their horse racing division, if you will. So yeah, you guys get it. They're not going to come in and make an impact, but what they are doing, and I want to get your take on this because I don't particularly like it, and I guess I get the marketing angle of it. That the bad beats, like for instance, the game 3 in St. Louis the other night, did the Blues get hosed by a bad miss? Yes. I mean, didn't mean they were going to win the hockey game. They still would have had to score in overtime to do so. But refunding bets for what they call a bad beat, I personally don't get it. I'm not sure I like it. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, I think that's a total con job. I think that just, you know, shows, you know, it distracts from the crappy product that they're putting out there, you know, and some guy, hey, man, I got my money back on that St. Louis game. Hey, that's great. But meanwhile, you're betting into these, you know, horribly juiced lines every day, every day, every day. So, I mean, you know, I think, you know, were I a consultant for them, I'd say, you know what, put out a good product.
Right.
You know, bad beats, whatever. That's part of sport.
Right.
You're going to spend like one day watching anything in the world of sports, and there's some kind of bad call that influences a game, or, you know, some sort of bad beat, you know, however you choose to define that, you know, and I think you're much better off in the long run. I mean, like I said, you know, somebody's going to fall for that con job. They always do. They fall for all kind of con, you know, but that's strictly my feeling on it. I think it's a con job. They'd be much better off just putting out a good product consistently.
Chris, we're inching our way to college football season, now into double digits, 99 days away from the first college football game of the year. And as always at the South Point, you put out one of those fun props, and you've done it a couple of different ways. What do you got this year? National championships, and you get a group of teams now, right? You pick one of those groups or the field and the props that are out there. How'd you come up with this year's group of teams?
Well, I tell you, as you look at it, I mean, a couple things involved. First of all, Clemson is legitimately a great team. Alabama, you know, you hear some different stories because they lost a lot of guys to the NFL. But a lot of people were telling me this is one of the most talented Alabama teams that Nick Saban's ever had. Okay. Well, right there it tells you, boy, it's going to be tough to beat one of these two teams.
Right.
Now, the thing about Alabama, they are in a very tough division of the toughest conference. However, we've seen them not even win that division and still make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's very hard to bet against either one of those teams. So I wanted to put them, I did not want to put them together. But, you know, how exactly do you do that? So Vinny Maiolo, who I think has been on your show too.
No, Vinny's,
you know,
Vinny, good guy.
Kinda, how do we do this? You know, so we started looking, you know, we wanted to kind of separate those two. And then we kind of, you know, I said, well, how about if we go like a three-way prop? You know, and you didn't want to just, you know, so how do we do this? You know, so anyway, it's funny. I did not like Michigan last year, and I got knocked mercilessly for saying that. And this year I kind of like Michigan, I think, and I got knocked mercilessly again for taking the other set. So we separated Ohio State and Michigan. I think they're both, you know, very viable. Ohio State, I think, much more so than Michigan, but I think Michigan will still be in it. We put in Georgia, who I think has a very, very good team. A lot of people think that they actually might be the best team in all of college football. And then I put in Oklahoma. I mean, you know, they got the Hurt kid from Alabama. I mean, what's the chance they're going to have three Heisman Trophy winners in a row? I don't know. Pretty decent, I'd say. You know, and they're not that tough of a conference. So I could see them certainly making the playoffs too. Now on the other side, so I separated Clemson and Alabama, put Georgia with Clemson, put Ohio State with Alabama, and Oklahoma with Alabama, because I still think Clemson has the best team and really has the easiest path to make the playoffs. And again, so I put Michigan along with Georgia and Clemson. So those are the two three-team groups. Then the rest was the field, you know, and who's going to come out of the field? I don't know. I mean, Notre Dame did last year, and I don't think too many people saw that at the beginning of the season. I think Texas A&M is actually very good. I think Texas has a shot. You know, somebody's probably going to come out of nowhere. You know, maybe Florida's not quite as bad as advertised. You know, maybe they are. I'm not sure. You know, you got other teams out there. You have the whole Pac-12, you know, that I didn't include. You know, and I think Oregon's going to be pretty good. You know, I think Washington has a chance to be pretty good. So, you know, I broke it into three separate categories. And, you know, so far we've written business. I haven't moved the number yet. You know, so it looks like a pretty good prop at this point.
It's like you know what you're doing or something, Chris.
Yeah, imagine that. Hey, Chris,
yeah.
After that many years. Chris, what sport are you seeing the most growth handle-wise in?
Oh, it's not even close. Hockey.
Because of the Golden Knights, right?
Well, that was it, you know, and, you know, that really put us on the path. But even this year with the Golden Knights really not being as big a story and not really sneaking up on anybody, our hockey handle is way, way up again. And, you know, I would point to my boss, Ryan Browning, who's, you know, pretty young guy. I think he's about 38 years old, you know, born in Las Vegas, grew up in Las Vegas, was never really exposed to hockey. And he started watching hockey because of the Knights and that sort of thing. Now he's like a hockey nut. You know, he's watching like, you know, the Blues games or, you know, mid-season he's watching like a Wednesday night game with, you know, Arizona and San Jose, you know, things like that. He said, I never knew this sport was so great. So he's a great example, but there's a lot of people in Las Vegas like that. You know, there's a lot of us from the Northeast. I'm from Pittsburgh. So those kind of guys, we always knew how great a sport hockey was. But a lot of other people, you know, a lot of Westerners, a lot of people grew up, you know, in the desert or, you know, some of the states that really didn't have hockey, suddenly got exposed to this game and found out just how exciting it is. So our hockey handle has increased tremendously, and the Knights certainly started us on that path, but it has continued.
All right, Chris, we'll let you go with this. Your book coming out next month in June.
Yeah.
Then One Day, 40 Years of Bookmaking in Nevada. As I pre-ordered on Amazon a couple weeks ago, I saw that my favorite story that I've ever heard you tell, and there's lots of them, the Minnesota Twins story of 1982. If you can, we just got about a minute left here. Can you give us a quick capper on that one and what people can get with your new book?
Well, first of all, go to my pinned tweet, and if you go to the Amazon link, just kind of page down, you'll get the whole story. Hard to summarize in a minute, but just a couple of guys that were pressing bets on the Twins, who were by far the worst team in baseball in 1982, and they kept telling me, we'll win one of these days, and we keep pressing our bets at plus money, we're going to get all our money back and then some. And I told the guy, I says, yeah, as long as you don't run out of money. And the guy says, the last thing we got to worry about is running out of money.
Oh, boy.
Okay. You know, the gambling gods don't like that. Well, they ran out of money. They never cashed a ticket on me. So, you know, it's a pretty good story, but obviously goes into a lot more detail. But you can get that for a freebie. Just go to the Amazon website and kind of page down and get that whole story. But that's a classic one. And really, that's what people told me after telling that story, that you got to write a book of these stories. So I did.
Good stuff. Well, glad you're feeling better, Chris. Thanks for coming on. Appreciate this. I have a feeling we're going to be doing this a whole lot more with you. So I appreciate it, Chris. Good
sure
to get to know you.
So.
All right, bud. Good to talk to you. Take care.
You too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Chris
Bye-bye.
Andrews, South Point. And been in Vegas for 40 plus years.
Yes.
Set numbers and managing risk. Fascinating story. Good guy. We'll take a time out. Tom Caker joins the program next, HawkeyeReport.com. We're here until noon. In the 11 o'clock hour, we've got a national baseball writer coming on. Scott Miller's going to join us. We're going to give away some barbecue from Claxons. We'll do that in about an hour. Trent and I till noon. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460
KXNO. Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and Bulldogs. Yeah, we got that covered. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And you'll be able to wager on all four of those schools coming up in August. How about that? Let's get Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. He joins the program. Hello, Tom. Trent and Ken, how's things?
Things are good. A little rainy over here on the eastern side of the state.
Likewise.
Yeah, pretty good.
Hey, you know, I meant to ask you, probably should have done this off air or have Trent ask you. The Big Ten Media Days, do you know what hotel it's at? Is it the same one as last year, or are they back to where The Fugitive was filmed? Do you know?
It's the Fugitive Hotel. Back to the Fugitive, I believe.
Nice.
That's good. It's always good when it's at the Fugitive Hotel, where they held the, they also had the NBA lottery at the Fugitive Hotel as well.
Now we just need to get Bowen Camp to, reenact the whole, all the scenes from in there. We know how much Bowen Camp loves The Fugitive.
It's a great show.
Yeah, we all love The Fugitive.
Absolutely.
It's always funny when The Fugitive is in play. I was hoping Dr. Richard Kimball would come in and disturb something the other day.
Look forward to that. July, 18th and 19th, I think, if I have the dates right, Big Ten Media. And it's been there before. It's been like 3 or 4 years, but it has been held there in the past, the event.
Yeah, last year it wasn't, but we're back at the Hilton again. And it's interesting that they're having it late in the week. Mm-hmm. It used to be like a Monday, Tuesday thing, but now they're doing it later in the week. So
yeah,
kind of interesting.
Yeah, Big 12 starts with Monday, Tuesday, and then Thursday, Friday that very same week is the Big Ten. Well, we'll obviously talk more about that as we get closer to it. I'll save the recruit for Trent because I don't know anything about it. I know that he let off his update with a running back has committed, but we'll save that for a second. Where I want to go is to Chicago and to Tyler Cook and the combine that's unfolding. What are you hearing, Tom? If anything, I hear that he's met with the Hawks. Maybe wasn't quite as tall as we were like most of them that are there. They all seemingly lost about an inch height wise. But what are you hearing about Tyler Cook and the combine that he's had so far? As he obviously graduated from the G League to the big one, so that's a positive.
Yeah, that is. It is always interesting to see guys shrink about 1 or 2 inches when they get there and get actually measured. But getting moved up from that G League thing to the big boy combine was, I think, a real positive for him. At least it puts him in position to be on the NBA radar even more. I don't think there's any question he's going to get an invite to it. Camp of some sort. Does he get drafted? I don't know. It's just I think late second round would be about the best that he could hope for. But it's a positive. It shows that he made the right decision because I think he was just kind of ready anyway. So I wish him well. He's a great kid, and it's good to see Fran there kind of supporting him too. I some coaches get bitter when guys leave, and Fran's not being that way at all.
What about Wieskamp? He hasn't announced that he's coming back. Everybody anticipates, but have you heard anything at all? Any workouts, anything for Wieskamp?
Not a lot. I did talk to the other night. We're at the iClub thing, and Nicholas Bear was there, and he said earlier in the day it was, because they're out of school, so he got together with a workout guy that they go to. Jordan Delp, who works out guys around here, is with the Drew Hamlin organization, and Jordan's a good buddy of mine. And he said he and Joe and Michael Bear all worked out together earlier that day, and said Joe looks great, and he's had a couple workouts with some NBA teams. He mentioned the Celtics as a recent workout, but said he looks great, and he's planning on being back. So I think we'll get that news probably, fairly soon that he's just, coming back and he'll be ready to go for Iowa next year.
Well, that's good because, as you know, and I'm wondering if you booked your ticket to Tampa yet, because they're a 6 seed in Tampa, according to Joe Lenardi's bracketology that came out. They got New Mexico State in the, and then in the round of 32, they'll get the winner of Charleston and Auburn, Tom. I guess they're forced to do that, but it's kind of
you clicked on it.
Yeah, I did. Iowa State, by the way, is a 5 seed. They're off to Sacramento. So at least, the national media thinks both of our in-state schools are going to be tournament bound next year. What do you think McCaffrey's biggest concern is right now? Is it filling out that roster? Still some work to be done, Tom, and the likelihood that they find somebody else at this point?
Yeah. By the way, also, Drake was in that bracket.
So, how did I miss Drake?
Yeah, Drake was in there too. So, you know, I'll three of the in-state schools in the tournament. And by the way, Iowa fans,
they play Kansas, Tampa, Tom. So. They play, yes, they are. They play Kansas, the 2 versus 15, but it's in Omaha, so Drake fans will be able to drive. Yeah, but to your point, they are very familiar with Tampa. The football team seemingly ends their season there every other year.
Yeah. You know, I think Fran's got a, you know, I wrote something, I guess it was after Isaiah left, that it's primed for him to kind of find a wing. I thought it was interesting, his interview with the Register, because Fran had mentioned this to me before, but this was, you know, probably dated at least well over a year ago. And he kind of mentioned, I might end up redshirting Patrick. And but I just don't see how you can do it now when if you stick with this roster and you've only got 10 guys and Patrick's one of the 10, I guess 11 now with Riley Till on scholarship, but still, I just don't know how you manage to redshirt Patrick. Even though he does need weight and he needs to get stronger, you might have to play him. I just think they're kind of set up to find some sort of wing player, that can shoot a little bit, but I just don't know what that transfer market looks. Who's mutually interested in Iowa at this point that would be a good fit? And Fran's really hyper-focused on finding guys that are right fit because he doesn't want somebody to come in that's going to be a problem child. And that's just really is one of the driving forces in all of his recruiting efforts, is guys that fit with what he wants to do from a, you know, personality standpoint.
So, Tom, let's jump over to football before we run out of time. And a commitment yesterday, running back LaShawn Williams from over in the Chicagoland area. Tell us about Williams, and he'll go hand-in-hand with a running back from our backyard, Southeast Polk's Gavin Williams. What you know about LaShawn and those two guys together coming into next year's class?
Yeah, it was interesting because for a while we kind of thought that they were only going to take one running back and it was going to be Gavin Williams. But, you know, kind of the whispers are that Henry Guile, the freshman, might not be back. And so they decided to go with another running back, and they were in on some good backs. And the thing with LaShawn Williams that was interesting to me was they just offered him. They literally just offered him, and he jumped on it. And I think they probably told him, hey, look, we got some other guys that are very interested, and it might not be here for very long. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to take it, you might want to take it now. He's from the same high school that Sebastian Castro, who's an incoming freshman defensive back, is from. So he's powerfully built, you know, 5'10", 205. So but he's shifty. He's got some really nice moves and pretty quick, explosive, catches the ball well. So I like the pickup and the kind of a good combination with now you got Williams and Williams. I'm sure we'll have some fun with that down the road.
Indeed. Hey, Tom, last thing for you. You mentioned the iClub. You bumped into Kirk Ferentz. Anything come of that? Did the media was there? Any nuggets come out of the iClub stop in the Quad Cities middle of this week?
You know, maybe the one thing, and it's just with the free agency of college sports today, but he mentioned something that I thought was pretty fascinating, that he had talked to Gary Barta about, that maybe you put a cap or of some sort on how many transfers you can take per school each year, especially those grad transfers. And, you know, he as you might expect, you know, Kirk not big in the transfer market, but he's dipped into the grad transfer market. And, you know, that making that scholarship for 2 years. So if you're going to do a graduate thing, you're going to do graduate school and you're going to graduate from graduate school kind of thing. So I thought that was interesting that he was kind of mad that didn't happen. But that quota that he talked about, I thought was really interesting, and we'll see if anything happens with that.
Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Tom, have a great week. We will talk to you a week from today. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Tom Kakerd, HawkeyeReport.com. All right, we're 45 minutes away from giving you an opportunity to win Claxon's Barbecue. Miller and Condon continue on 11 o'clock hours next on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Des Moines. Now, today's biggest stories from the BMW of Des Moines Sports Desk. This is an X's and O's update on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And I'm Trent Condon. Iowa football has picked up a commitment for their 2020 class as three-star running back LaShawn Williams has committed to the Hawks. Williams chose the Hawkeyes over scholarship offers from Kansas State, Wyoming, and Cincinnati. Last season, he...
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.